All right.
Hey there, Jerry.
There he is.
Hey,
How's
let's
it
see up this.
going?
Which way is the best way here? It doesn't matter. There we go.
Was gonna say lighting's the same on your face, so it really is all about whatever background you want.
There, that's good enough.
Right on.
How
Sacha,
are
how you
you?
doing?
Busy, very busy. This has been a while in the making. I think we've both just probably been the same. Post COVID, just everything's
It
crazy.
really
So,
is. Jeez, what have you been
but
you know I hold on. I'm not going to ask you every question because I may start the show by asking you what you've been up to. So I don't want to sit there and have you have to replay it. I just realized
okay.
I was like, you're going to have to say the same thing over
No.
again. And so yeah. So
I like that. How
yeah, I
have you been though?
it's good, man. Yeah, busy as well. Making a documentary. Like a
Oh, nice.
feature and like about a USL2 team
Which
here in
one?
NC Fusion and U23s.
Okay.
So they're currently like they were sixth in the country last week and they're seventh this week. They didn't lose, but they somehow dropped. They won their games but still dropped a spot in their rankings. But yeah, they're really good. They're really good and doing one on the WPSL team as well, the women's team.
Okay.
So it's like I interviewed, gosh, three players today and a host mom today for that
Oh,
thing, which is
yeah,
crazy.
I got to do it for the documentary. It won't be complete without the host mom. So I
Yeah,
like
I gotta. They, that's the
that.
cool thing is the fact that they have these host families that I really didn't know a whole lot about. But yeah, one of the guys I interviewed today was is a keeper from East Tennessee State, and he's English, and he used to play with Sheffield United's academy.
Oh, okay. Did he
Yeah,
know
this guy.
Dom?
Yes.
I was gonna say that's yeah,
Yes.
that's, if you're asking about Sheffield.
The first thing I asked
Yeah, that's cool.
him,
That's
he
cool.
said, "Yeah, I've got a story." He said, "I sometimes I got to train with the first team when Aaron Ramsdale was with, on national team stuff." And so
Yeah.
he said, Dom Calvert-Lewin scored an overhead kick on me. And he was like, he was an
Can't wait till he
incredible
does that.
athlete. Yeah.
I bet. I mean, you see it. He got the yellow card for jumping over the player like a couple of weeks ago for England.
That's ridiculous.
But yeah,
But
that's
yeah, it
cool.
was.
That sounds. When does it come out?
Well, it's like we're still filming right now. Their season doesn't end. Well, I don't know
Okay.
when it's going to end because, they're almost certainly going to playoffs.
Okay.
But it depends on how long playoffs lasts. They may lose first round, or they may win the thing. So it's hard to
Okay.
say. They're good. Some really good players. One of them's leading the nation in scoring right now. It's just.
That's cool. Well,
It's
let's
pretty
hope they go
crazy.
far. Hope they
Yeah,
go far.
it's
Better for
been cool.
the film.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. It's such a different model from the women's team to the men's team.
Is it
Like
okay?
the women's team trains with like 50 players at every training session, and they're all from North Carolina. They're
Oh,
all
my
like,
goodness.
yeah, they're all local fusion players that he has brought up.
Yeah.
And none, there's only like two fusion players from the youth setup on the
Okay.
men's team. And they go with a normal 25 teams
Yeah.
player setup. So, yeah,
Interesting.
it's weird the way they do the development differently. So,
But
anyway, I'm asking all those kind of questions, those American soccer culture questions. We'll see.
yeah, because it's different. Yeah. There it's
Yeah.
straightforward enough.
Yeah,
But
it's funny
cool.
how some of them really love the idea of having to go through college to play
Okay.
pro, and some do not at all.
I
So,
wouldn't like it, to be honest. I would feel like it's just an opportunity to get hurt.
And you play
You
fewer,
know?
you play way fewer games while in other countries they're playing,
Yeah.
30
Oh,
per
you're right.
season and you're playing way
Yeah.
fewer. Yeah.
No, yeah. The academy system's proven. The U.S. collegiate system is not. So,
Yeah.
but. That's for to be a European a PL star, so that's hard enough as it is, but
Yeah, so we're
cool.
it's been a cool project so far, but it's like, I'm recording like 3 to 5 games a week, training sessions and interviews.
Oh my. Okay. So
it's a lot.
That's quite a bit. Yeah. That, with the kids and a family.
Yeah. Like I'm coaching a 3v3 team this Saturday for a tournament. So.
Oh my goodness. You have no free time left. Well, good thing no Everton to ruin your weekends until August 14th. That was just released. So.
Well, that's the thing. Like I'm going on the 25th to July 25th to Orlando. To
Orlando. That'll be great.
I'm going to that, and it would be great if we have a manager by then.
I think we'll have one in by the end of the month.
Yeah, realistically, one would think.
Yeah.
All right. So what we're doing today is talking, just making conversation with you.
Okay. Mark.
Just what's going on with you? Maybe a little Euros talk. Just basic. What do you got going on? Watching anything cool lately? That kind of stuff. And then we'll talk manager. I wrote down some names that have been popping up, and it's
forever. There'll be a lot of no's probably, but yeah.
But then John, Toffee Blues John, submitted a question, mailbag question that he was curious about. So okay. It's pretty random.
That sounds concise, but still good. So let's do it.
That's the key.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're ready, we'll get started.
Let's do it. Yeah, we both sit up straight.
Funny, like I put this thing on because I was cold in my house, and then I realized, oh, it's going to make my hair look grayer. Oh no.
I think it looks good. It looks smart, as they say.
See?
Couldn't even notice. Blame it on the webcam, like I said.
All right. And what is up, everyone? Welcome to Toffee Blues USA, your choice for all things Everton American style. I am Jerry, coming to you recorded from recorded from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And joining me again for, I guess it's the second time, is Sachin. Sachin, how have you been doing, man?
I've been doing well, very busy. So I have, a little under a year left of dental school. So just doing a lot of clinical stuff and outreach. So I go to the middle of nowhere in Minnesota for the whole month of July. So I can't come to the American preseason tour because I'll be stuck in rural Minnesota. But Everton bad, you know, so just plugging away in that sense and switching. We're still watching Euros, but just relaxing and enjoying a summer kind of free from COVID, you know, better than the last one. So, yeah, but thank you for having me on. How have you been?
Man, doing well, busy as well. Different kind of busy, but probably the same amount of just keeping it together. It is pretty cool to turn on my TV on the Euros and see a stadium packed, full of people, and having me not think, oh gosh, that's wrong. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. 100%. I mean, because the only thing that had stadiums were New Zealand and Australia. Because I watch cricket for the UK viewers, and I remember seeing Aussie summer and packed crowds, and I was incredibly jealous, stuck in the negative degrees of Minnesota. I was like, well, I don't think I'm in the right place, to be honest with you. But thankfully, yeah, like you say, now it's kind of normalcy, and the soccer with crowds is way better than the artificial stuff they pump in.
You said cricket immediately. I think my only experiences with cricket have been watching two like docuseries on cricket teams. One is called The Test on Amazon Prime.
That's a good
Prime.
One. Yep, that's a good one.
That was cool. One about the Australian team. And then Cricket Fever about the Mumbai Indians.
Yeah, I've seen that one too.
That was cool too. Yeah. That was a cool introduction. Do I still not completely understand the rules? I do not understand the rules.
There's a good explained on Netflix and YouTube that does a good job. So maybe give that a go and then you'll be hooked.
I feel like I just need you to drop knowledge on me constantly. Oh, this is ridiculous. It's only the second time you're on. I'm learning something 5 minutes in. It's ridiculous. Well,
there's still a lot I don't know. Cricket is way more intricate than you'd expect. But
that's the thing, is I tend to overthink everything. So the fact that it's more complicated than that is just...
Yeah, a lot of technicalities in the gentleman, the posh man's game, I guess. But yeah, no, we should give it a go. And then next time, third time, we'll be chatting about the current matches going on and the different formats and whatnot.
That's the thing. I just had the formats explained to me by an English guy I was interviewing today. So,
yeah. And people care more than they should about the formats, but that's a whole different can of worms.
So you've had dental school going on.
Yeah.
You've got something like, so what is it that you have to be in the middle of nowhere in Minnesota?
It's outreach. So okay. We go to underserved areas and then just provide. So it's good because you're just doing a lot of dentistry to people that need it, but it's a month spent in the middle of nowhere. And I can do it, but not for July. Rather the winter.
Gotcha. But that was the thing. You started that and I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And I was like, well, yeah, it is a month in July. Yeah, okay.
Like, so, but it'll be fun. It'll be good. Yeah. It'll be better for it when it's over. So, and then the season starts. All of July I've gone and then boom.
Yeah, it may be a good time to be really busy though, Sachin. You know what I mean? This summer, the Everton summer is... It's gotten off to a really rocky, weird start.
Well, I just remember last year I was, we were down 3-0 to Blackpool 13 minutes in, and the first thing Everton Twitter was fuming about. So, I mean, that probably will happen again this year. So, if I'm not on my phone watching that, that's probably a good thing for the blood pressure.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We'll see. I'd forgotten about that. Dang.
Ever since Ancelotti left, all these negative memories of the low points have just been flooding back. But
well, we are going to have to. We are just for folks who, just to kind of give a little update, we are going to be having the meat of this program is going to be about the manager hunt. So we will be giving that ample time, and then we'll have a little brief mailbag at the end. But really, really quick, man, watching the Euros, have you been able to take in some of these games?
Yes. I've been able to watch most of them except like a half here or a half there because like the lunch hour or before I go into school, but did watch, the Denmark game with Christian Eriksen last weekend. That thankfully worked out for the best, but if that had been a different outcome, I probably would not have watched the rest of the tournament because it's just not worth. Like you don't watch a soccer match for that, but thankfully, it worked out. But I've been trying to watch that.
Wow, who do you feel like? I feel like I should have follow up to that. You mentioned Christian Eriksen. I'm just like, okay, I just need to say. I'm so glad you're doing okay. Yeah. So there we go. That just needed to be said really quick. But so having gotten that said, who do you feel like out of all the teams you've been able to watch so far, who do you feel like you're thinking, they're strong?
I think France is going to take it. If I had to pick one team, I still think they take it.
It's hard not to pick them.
Yeah, but if you had to go with someone – maybe Belgium, but I don't know. You saw for the first goal today, at least. I watched at least the goals. I mean, you're going to concede a goal like that to a Danish side. You're going to concede a few to a Netherlands, let alone France. So I don't want to pick them, but I don't know. I don't think England. Sorry for the – actually, I know the Everton fans don't care. Scout's not English. So I'll piss off a few of the Dars, but that's okay. So not England. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't think Spain either, but
who knows? I worry they're missing some incisive finishing, just getting more chances.
They had a David Villa, they'd probably be favorites, but no offense to Alvaro Morata. He hasn't been prolific since before he went to Chelsea. So
I know I got to watch some of the Belgium game today. And as soon as they put in De Bruyne,
yeah,
that second half Oh my gosh.
If he's fit, if he's fit, then they could be the second choice for sure. Because he is, it's hard to pick a better midfielder in the world than him.
Yeah. In Portugal, I'll be really curious to see the Portugal France match to see who gets first in their group. Because I feel like it is, but I don't know that I'm feeling Germany coming out of that group.
No, they have too many issues. I think they've been past it for. Last tournament, they didn't even make it out the group stage in the World Cup. And then what's changed? I really don't know. Don't know. Jurgen Löw is not seems to be past it, but yeah, exactly that.
For people listening via podcast, you didn't catch that. So I'm apologizing, but I can't really say what I was doing. So I will say, you mentioned the Netherlands. They look pretty solid right now, which was all right. I wasn't expecting them to look that strong that quickly.
I just think Frank de Boer, he's
yeah.
I don't think he's tactically sound. I
don't either.
If he gets a good team in the knockouts, I think they'll get exposed. But
it's hard to disagree with that based on just straight up quick evidence.
Yeah,
you know,
but they are fun to watch. I will say that they attack nicely and they had a good goal. Denzel, maybe our new right back. I doubt it because we didn't get the deal done, and now everyone will want him. So we'll end up with some overpriced person from the championship, maybe Max Aarons. But that's neither here nor there. We got a lot bigger questions to address before we solve the right back vacancy.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I watched France play Germany, and I think France, it's hard to disagree with. I mean, it's just there's a swagger where they just look so – they're playing with so much confidence.
And the depth.
It's absurd. It doesn't seem fair. Oh, my God.
And Pogba actually wants to play for them. I think that's a huge – seeing a world-class Pogba – I'm glad we don't see a world-class Pogba in the Premier League, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm glad he doesn't play for us. If he was playing like he did for France, then it would be a different story for United. But yeah, like, no, they're fun to watch.
I love how you're like, I'm so glad he's miserable there. Because honestly, it's true. Yeah.
United.
Can't
spare them any sympathy. You know, they don't deserve it.
So it's hard to disagree with France. I think Belgium gets a nod. I will say England got a good win over Croatia. That's a good win for them.
I just don't think Gareth Southgate. I don't think his selection is. I mean, he chose Mings and Cody over Godfrey. Like, they're playing Tyrone. That's gonna come back to bite them. I think when he comes out to the semifinals and the finals, you need world-class center backs, and Mings isn't that, and they're playing Mings. So,
yeah, I'm curious if Maguire is going to be healthy in time to play. I just don't know.
I guess even a bigger, more egregious error is playing Kieran Trippier at left back.
That was bold. Yeah, I was shocked at that.
I think Trippier is a good player, but I think that's a tactical misstep, but that he's managing England and here I am drilling and filling in Wilmer in a month. So it is what it is, I guess. Right. But
I did a double take when I saw it, but so did everybody else. Yeah, so
we'll see.
I can't sit there and claim to be the only one who had a furrowed brow at that. But the thing is, they got the win.
Yeah, they got the win.
Against
they
a good did. Team. So any other thoughts on the Euros? We're still early, you know? Yeah. So
we're only 6 days in and it ends July 11th. So let's just hope for a fun tournament. Then an upset, maybe another Iceland dark horse team. You know, that always makes it better. That's the magic of these tournaments, you know? Something like that happening and they captivate everyone's heart. So
yeah. Then you get worried. You're just like, okay, it's just the normal. Okay, those two. That's exactly what I'm worried is gonna happen. But anyway.
But it's also nice just as a neutral, just to enjoy the matches. You're just hoping for good play. And that, I mean, I really enjoyed them. It's refreshing. It's refreshing.
My family got really excited. My son, my 9-year-old, well, my 6-year-old either, but 9-year-old didn't realize the Euros were a thing. And I told him like the day before it started and he flipped out. So now every single day he's coming home and turning on the TV and grabbing phones and demanding scores. And it's just, yeah, it's cool. It's cool. I'm like, look, it's sort of like the World Cup, but it's missing some teams, but still it's super fun. And it is. It's cool.
And then you'll tell him about Copa America at 4 and 7. I guess, well, Brazil's playing right now. So yeah.
Yeah. We were watching Colombia, Venezuela earlier. Yeah.
I forgot about that one. Then I looked it up. I was like, oh, well, try to catch a bit of the Brazil match while I do some studying. But
we turned it on and Bennett was like, where's Yerry Mina? Where is Yerry Mina? And I was like, he's here. Just wait a second. And he was like, I demand Yerry Mina. And there he was. Yeah. But it was funny. Like Colombia just outshot the hell out of him. And Venezuela was just like, not in the face, like over and over again. It was a really ugly game. Really ugly.
You never know what you're going to get with CONMEBOL, I'll be honest. That's kind of the joy of it, is it'll be South American football is different, and I'm here for it. I'm definitely, it's a soap opera in a sense, and its own ordeal. It's more than a game.
I was really curious about this Peru-Brazil match, but it looks like Brazil's already scored. So there's that.
Oh, they are? Oh, my. Not surprised there.
Colombia-Venezuela tied, by the way, despite the fact that Colombia outshot them 23-2. Venezuela has zero shots on goal.
That reminds me of the Everton match where I think we had 31 shots against West Brom and we lost.
Yeah, that's very familiar. But I was watching, and Venezuela, who I thought was stronger than that, was just awful passing. Every time they'd get it near their third, they just give it away. And it was, oh. Anyway, I was expecting. Well, so
not everyone besides, can be powerhouses.
Yes, but. That's right. It's nobody can have the passing might of Everton right now, right?
Exactly, right. Exactly.
So have you been watching anything else, Cole?
I've been trying to find a show. Watched Layer Cake, which is a 2006 Daniel Craig film.
I am familiar with it.
Thoroughly enjoyed the character named Gaza. that I recommend. That was funny. They don't make movies like that or films like that anymore.
I remember when it came out. That's when I saw it. And I don't remember. I remember so little about it. I just remember thinking it was really fun.
Yeah, exactly. It was a refreshing change of pace. So that's, I usually don't watch movies, but
it's so random. You randomly watched Layer Cake like this year.
It was just on Amazon Prime. I saw it. I was like, oh, interesting enough. So
nice.
Didn't regret it. But so that's my recommendation. Anyone who's looking for a random movie.
Welcome to the Layer Cake. But no. I remember that. All right. So we have to get down to business. The manager hunt. It was not a dream. Carlo has officially left us in the mud. And I got to be honest, no one is happy. No one. There's a long list of names. I've got most of them here, and I will rattle them off. But I've got to say, I'm wondering if my discontent stems from the fact that our last manager was Carlo Ancelotti, and that was such a big name. And now it's like, this is more real life, and this is what we're dealing with, and that's disappointing. You know what I mean?
That makes, it's a little of that for me too, because we probably can't do better. but it's also, I'm apathetic. Seen so the carousel now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so many times now. It's just like, well, they'll point somebody and hopefully we get behind them.
Yeah.
But it's tough. It honestly is tough. I was down for quite a week or two when Carlo Binda's like that, because it was just like, for the first time, like, I'm one of my buddies who started watching the matches with me at the end of the season. Like, you know, feel good about the summer, you know, some quality signings, you know, get some young players, track maybe a veteran or two, and, you know, maybe we push on for top six and whatnot. Now it's, you're going to name the names, but last week when we're supposed to film this, we would have had, I would have told you Nuno would have been the manager.
Yep.
This week it's Rafa, and who knows what it'll be next week, but.
Bruce Arena.
Jurgen Klinsmann. I saw him as like 50-1 on the betting odds on Twitter or something.
I saw him a couple of weeks ago and I was like, really? Yeah. Is that a thing?
Pelé is probably on the betting odds as well now. But honestly, you might as well throw a pound or throw a dollar on the highest odds person you can find, because it's Everton. So
I mean, that's the thing with, it's really interesting how no one has a clue.
No.
Because everyone was spreading it out there. Nuno's getting an offer. It's happening. You know, it's definitely happening. Cool. And then silence. Silence, right?
It's Fabrizio Romano, the only guy of Twitter notifications on. Like, he's never wrong. You know,
One you can trust.
Yeah, because he waits. You know, he's not trying to break the story. His information is always true. And then it wasn't. So it leads me to believe that it's like Nuno's camp that leaked the details that an offer was close. It's Rafa's camp this week, because I think the board is honestly clueless. It's like a three-headed snake, or, you know, a hydra or something, and you have each head pulling in the opposite direction, legitimately. And so,
did you call our board hydra?
I mean, who knows? Who knows what it is at this point? You got Bill Kenwright doing God knows what, trying to find the Arteta money. Farad just saying he'll write him a check. And then Marcel Brand sitting there thinking what he signed up for, I bet. So
that's the crazy thing, is it seems like it's such a weird thing being a supporter on this, because the whole time I've just been like, I just want Bronze to pick his guy. Yeah. I want Bronze to pick his guy, and I want everybody else to have faith in it, to feel comfortable in it. And then you hear all these rumors. Oh, Bronze likes this manager. Yeah. Bronze likes this manager. Mashiri likes this manager. Kenwright likes peanut butter. I don't know. It's always something random with him. And it's none of this makes sense. Like, none of it, right? I mean, first everyone leaked Nuno, then it was Rafa, and at this point it's back to being silent. And just need to mention, by the way, tonight we're recording this. This is a Thursday night, okay? This comes out, you know, Friday or Saturday or whenever it comes out, all right? There's going to be different names.
Yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we could be in a situation. So that's why I'm about to list a bunch of stuff, because the funny thing here, Sachin, is it's not just Everton that are dealing with this nonsense. We're not the only clown show in town right now.
Spurs, exactly. Yeah. I tweeted about them. Spurs are outdoing us.
I can't get over it. I mean, everyone was like, oh, Fonseca, it's happening. Definitely, definitely. And then all of a sudden, boom, Gattuso. What? And, yeah, it's nuts. So
I would take either one of those two, to be honest with you.
I would want to get a little bit more information on Gattuso, just to learn more about. I feel like I've watched more Fonseca teams than I've watched Gattuso teams.
I remember watching Gattuso's AC Milan team a few years ago, but I didn't watch enough AC Milan to form an opinion, or Serie A in that general. It was just one of those throw it on and let's see what happens sort of deal. But it's just something different. My one prerequisite is if they've been employed by us in the past as manager, there's a reason they left or we got rid of them. So why do it again? You know?
Yeah.
Why do it again?
Yeah. Recent rumors today were that it's going to be a straight choice between Benitez and Martinez, Roberto Martinez, who let's be honest, does the circles. Really good at that circles dance at the Jason Derulo concert.
Yeah, how could you forget about that? Yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that's every reason to bring him back. And then you remember what it's like to watch our team like possess the ball dominantly, just you know, pass it around the box and just perfect passing around the box and never get a shot on goal ever. Yeah. And then give up one shot on goal and we lose 1-0. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That was a frustrating time.
Or right? We score a goal and we immediately concede on the next shot on target. And
something ugly.
Then we go lose the game. Silly.
Yes. So, always something yeah. silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but that's the thing, man. I have opinions on these. I don't really have a whole, here's the thing that kills me, Sachin. Is that these people that are so definite about no, they will not work. That's the thing that kills me is how they know. You know what I mean? Like that's yeah. that's what really bugs me. So, I mean, the list here, Rafa Benitez, Nuno Espirito Santo, Roberto Martinez, Lucien Favre, who most recently was at Dortmund, Paulo yeah. Fonseca, Christophe Gaultier from Lille, just won the league with Lille.
I'll take him too.
Yeah. Yeah. I really would.
He got 18 goals out of Yilmaz or whatever. And I watched that Turkey match. That guy's not very good. So I don't know what magic he's working over there with the strikers, but he gets 40 out of Dom if he got 18 or whatever out of Burak Yilmaz.
Yeah.
Or Cenk Tosun. You'll get 20 out of Cenk Tosun. Who knows?
He probably would. Yeah. I think at some point we've reached out to Conte. I don't know if that's a realistic option, but he's another one for Spurs. Down. That was wrapped up. It's the same yeah. thing. Spurs is doing the exact mm-hmm. same thing we are. It's really weird. You know, we had rumors with Graham Potter. We had rumors with Ralf Rangnick, Rudy Garcia from Lyon, Claudio Ranieri, Ten Hag from Ajax,
yeah.
Jürgen Löw from Germany. And there's more than that. You know, I've given you a short list.
I know.
It's nuts.
It's silly season for a reason, you know?
I mean, this is just even sillier. This is the silliest of seasons.
It's pathetic. It's masochistic.
Like, I took off Moyes off the list because he's supposed to be signing that contract extension.
With West Ham.
But yeah, man. So, out of that list – let's pretend Sachin's got a young team and you want to continue building and bulking them up to play the style of football Sachin wants to play.
So
which one of those managers deserves your time?
A little bit of a preface statement, but assuming they can all speak well enough English, I'll take Gaultier because he said apparently one of his things holding him back from going to the PL was he didn't feel like he grasped English well enough. And I think any manager, if you can't communicate with the players, you know, you're like, you can't use a translator. So,
yeah.
I would take him, but I mean, other than that, I like Ten Hag. He'd be number two.
And I almost put him on the Conte list with, I don't know if it's realistic or not.
I think he's a little more attainable.
Than Conte.
But honestly, I would take Graham Potter. I think I watched a bit of Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
They play well. I think they play a nice style of football. And they have like Neil Maupay as their striker. And not a bad striker, but by any stretch of the means, they have way less talent than we do. But yet they only conceded two less goals than us. They're the XG mm-hmm. kings, if you believe in that. I kind of do. Because I do believe it is about getting, you know, good chances in good areas. I think, you know, you look at a City team and whatever. XG does matter.
Yeah.
One-offs occur, usually against us. But I think he would, if he was appointed, I would be more than willing to give him, you know, 2 years. 2 years, so I think you get some good players. Mid this, you know, Matheus Nunes, whatever, from Sporting.
Mm-hmm.
He passes the YouTube test, which
he does.
Sandro Ramirez also passed the YouTube test, so
he absolutely did. And why did you do that? Oh.
Because I remember showing Sandro to my roommates and being like, "This guy's gonna be unreal," and then yeah, we all know how that one ended. So
that one broke my heart. Oh, that one really messed with me.
That was
I was so sure of that one. I was,
Barcelona product, you know, that scored 20 after he was rejected, come to the PL and just like BR Suarez or some nonsense. Who knows? Yeah, but no.
Yeah, to be fair, though, Omar Nias, we had YouTube videos of him scoring 30-yard bangers and just screaming them into the net.
Though. It could have been CGI for all we know. The Russian league. You don't know what goes on over there. But that's days gone by, right? Days gone by.
So you mentioned Gaultier, you mentioned Potter, you mentioned Ten Hag. Any love for Fonseca or Favre or
I want to take Lucien Favre. I want, because I actually did watch a bit of Dortmund when he was a manager, and wildly, I think, inconsistent. I think he, with the talent he had on that team, I think he underperformed, and then he got sacked. So I wouldn't have him. But to be honest, at this point, I'm not the pickiest like I was before we got Ancelotti. You know, it was Moyes. Maybe I would take Ralf Rangnick. You know, he's done good things at Leipzig. I don't know if you mentioned him, but he's someone who's worked with the director of football. I think it's more about someone who fits the culture, can work with Marcel Brands, you know, is okay being necessarily not the one pulling the trigger on the transfers. But it's just to me, it seems like we don't have an overall vision, and that comes from Moshiri just trying to pick his man every 2 years. Yeah. That's a way bigger. It doesn't matter who we pick. If he's just going to be picking managers at his whim and at his behest, we're never going to achieve something worthwhile because we're just not good enough. We're a big club, but at this moment in time, we don't have anything pulling players to us for us to be doing a Real Madrid, you know, type approach where we can sack whomever we want. We just physically and we just can't do that, and it's unrealistic to think we can. So to me, a great top manager would be great, but like a Graham Potter who fits in with, you know, our vision for the next 5 years, I would get behind that. Take a chance on a young manager, take a chance on someone. Just don't do it. Like, don't appoint Rafa, who, you know, you saw the banners probably on Twitter calling.
I was going to mention the banners.
But if that
sort of made me sad,
you shouldn't have to do that. I think banners have a, I know some people hate the banners, and Arsenal fans like DT for that hate the banners. But I mean, one of my biggest things against Martinez is the fans brought the banners out to support Baines. They said Baines is one of us when he made Baines apologize for telling truths. Mm-hmm. You know, like the banner, that's a great use of the banners. The fans have a say, and that's spot on. But they can say they don't have to call him that stuff. But at the same token, Rafa has been very disrespectful to us. And you need everyone unified to go forward after what happened, you know, with Carlo and the heartbreak. The players are all, you know, a lot of them are shocked. And, you know, Dom kind of said it, you know, they're not happy. So if we have a manager and with the fans coming in with their own agenda, and the player is now unsure, we might get relegated. We might turn to Big Sam in January like we did in 2017, because I want to sit here and say that that's not a reality, but I've seen some dire football from Everton. 4-1 to Southampton, the meme going around with Ped, you know, we are going down. But I don't want to be the most negative Evertonian and be labeled an Evertondar, but it is kind of a reality we have to face. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact they're taking their time with it, and shows maybe there are some cooler heads on the board prevailing, and it's not just, you know, Moshiri or someone just going full steam ahead this time, that they're doing an actual process. No one knows, but I think the thing is just to be patient. I'm honestly more excited. I want to see a signing or two. Like, if this Nunes lad is announced before the manager, I'd be happier about that, because we need younger players that were, you know, to take us to the next level, and then hopefully we have a manager that can work with that. But
do you prescribe to the theory of having a director of football that determines the vision when it comes to the style of play, what type of, you know, and then you, hire a manager based on that. And then you sort of form your squad around that. Or do you look at the squad you have and hire a manager based on the squad you have? And then I guess that it seems like there's a few ways to go is what I'm saying.
I think in a perfect world, you do the former, where you can kind of mold everything around what you want, but who's going to take, you know, Cheng Tosin on £100,000 a week? Who's going to take Theo Walt? You have to face the reality, and it's somewhere more in the middle. Mm-hmm. So you need to make compromises. And that's the biggest thing. And I think you just need a coherent structure from top down. You need the U23s playing a similar style to the first team. You need the academy system being very coherent. And I think if you hire a director of football, you're paying a person millions of pounds, of euros, or dollars a year. You should be letting them do what they do best. I mean, let them run the show. Maybe you handle the commercial side of things, build a stadium or whatnot. But I think it's blasphemous for an owner. I mean, I guess with billionaires and whatnot, you know, they become billionaires for a reason. But, and it's tough to see that responsibility, especially when Moshiri does put £100 million into a transfer window.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you don't convince someone like Marcel Brands to come here without telling him he can run the show. So
he said really early. He said, I want to be involved in a ton of decisions. And he even said, I remember like we talked about this. He even wanted to be a part of like the look of the kits and choosing the kits.
Yeah.
You know, design. And it was like, I remember thinking, wow, that guy really wants to be like at the heart of a club, at the soul of a club.
But
that's what's weird about some of these names that keep being thrown out, because you wonder, like with Nuno, because he has that agent relationship, right?
Yeah, Jorge Mendes.
Yeah. And so immediately you think, okay, well, that's a different influence. That's not the same, right? That's not Marcel Brands bringing in his type of players, making his kind of deals. It's just a different thing. And some of these, interesting, Ralf Rangnick, you mentioned, he's used to being the director of football, right? He's used to being Marcel Brands. So there may be a conflict there. If he's thinking, gosh, I can do that job, you know, it'd be hard to do that, I would think. So there's
going to
be some of these coaches that don't work like that, I guess is what I've. I
don't think you can get a manager like a Conte who would want to spend $250 million on players to win now and want everything. That just wouldn't work. That would leave us in a worse mess when we do sack him or he does leave.
Yeah.
So, which is why I think you need to go the other route and be the other way. But I also do think it does bode well, because Marcel Brands, you know, has been named to, I think, the board of the club, the board of like something else a few days ago. So I think there's definitely they want to keep him and get him more responsibility.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's also why give him that responsibility when he's supposed to be running the football club, you know? So
yeah.
So who knows what's going on behind the scenes, really? And I don't think anyone will until we appoint our manager. And The Athletic, you know, Paddy Boylan and Greg O'Keefe have an in-depth expose about what really went on a couple of days later, because I think we as fans are just all, you know, Paul Joyce says something, Fabrizio says something, Dominic King says something, Jim White says something.
Yep.
You know, so there's a lot of information going on. I just think just wait until someone holds the scarf. And I don't even have Everton notifications on. I'll find it out eventually, but I think that's for any blue, it's not worth the stress at this point in time. And if Rafa's the guy, then let them have it, but let's cross that bridge when we get there.
There are some names on here that are less underwhelming than others. Okay. I worry Rafa Benitez. The first thing I think of is, I mean, I have some negative vibes. I do. I mean, if he was going to another team, I'd say, okay, decent hire for them. You know, like
Palace hired him. Great. Perfect.
Like when he went to Newcastle, I was like, good. He'll probably do well there. Yeah, cool. But the Liverpool stuff, the fact that, you know, he's tried to backtrack on the stuff he said about the small club. I don't buy his explanation at all. It's a little insulting that I'm supposed to. I do not.
You don't make a comment like that in the first place unless you truly mean it. These people are smart enough and nuanced enough to know that.
Yeah, so exactly.
You say that, you don't go back.
Yeah. There's some of these, like Paulo Fonseca, he's the manager I wanted before Silva.
Yeah, no, I did too. I did too before we went to Roma. He did very well at Shakhtar and had them playing a nice style of play and qualifying for Champions League, sometimes the knockout stages of the Champions League. They'll get smoked by Real Madrid or whatever, but
yeah,
that's exactly what I'm saying. Take a chance on someone like that.
See, the problem with him though, I think I know you said somebody like that, because I agree, like that. But we look at him now, he's had opportunities to take the Everton job before. You know, I think we've offered it to him before. And I think the first time around, the rumor was that he would have a clause in his contract that he could go to a Champions League club. Okay, if he wanted it. You know? And I feel like he's had opportunities to come to us if he wanted. Even this time, he's with Spurs. And he had opportunities to come to us before. So I don't know if I like the whole bridesmaid feel with a manager like that. I like the idea of somebody saying, yeah, I want to go there. Cool. It's a good match. Cool. You know, that's what I want out of my players. Same thing.
Ideally, we find someone who's young and grows with us.
Yeah.
And we all blossom, but that could just be a pipe dream. So,
I mean, very few of these names are young guys like that.
Yeah.
The main one is Potter, you know? And that's the thing. I will say, I have a lot of respect for the way Potter runs his team. I feel like there are times where it comes across a little naive when it comes to, you know, when you get that many chances and you can't finish, it's tough. It, you know what I mean? There's something about, I don't really think his defensive record is as bad as everybody made it out to be. I don't think it is. It's the finishing, really. So that's that, but I respect the fact that he runs his teams differently. He's bringing, he has his teams bond together. He has them put on plays together. It's amazing. You know,
it's different. Yeah. It's like Phil Jackson in the 90s having his players meditate, you know, you need it almost.
I'm with you.
Fresh air, especially with a club like ours, which is pretty stale. At this point, it seems.
But I will tell you, Sachin, I think there's a good portion of the population of Everton supporters who would go,
yeah,
that sounds stupid. No.
They don't have time for that. But
got it. You know, it sounds stupid. They're just like, why can't we just, can we not just have a manager that defends and can actually put a ball on frame? Got it.
Okay. Exactly.
But I mean, the more I look at this list, I've been pretty underwhelmed and uninspired. I just want to see this as an opportunity. I want to figure out how Everton can turn this into an opportunity for growth and an opportunity for people to get inspired by potential. And I worry when you take a manager that's been around the block and has had some rough turns lately, that it doesn't feel like that potential, the excitement, it's not really going to be there. So
I completely agree. You're spot on with that. And I think for a lot of fans, especially, it's been, you know, we've seen that the writing's on the wall and we can't do better than what we had. And then at the blink of a stroke, you know, it's done. So I think it is that we're hurt, we're bitter, and we're scared. Mm-hmm. I think it's all of those things. And then, but the season will be here before we know it. You know, it's already, June 17th, the longest day of the year is in 3 days. And that's scary. It means, fall will be here. And then who knows? We have an easy start to the season. Maybe we win five in a row. And then we'll go number one on iTunes again. And things will be bliss for a bit.
I miss that so much.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I miss watching having every video on my Twitter feed, I turn the sound on and it'd be a scene from a movie where someone puts music on and it's Spirit of the Blues, and it just makes me so happy.
Good times.
Oh, good times. My wife got so mad at me watching all those videos. Oh, it was so great. Anyway, yeah, anything else on the Everton manager front?
I don't.
So we're agreed, Louis van Gaal for the entertainment value.
If he falls on the ground again in front of the fourth official, I'll take it. Yes. I'll take it.
Yeah, it's a lot of names, and it's really hard to sit there and put your flag behind any one candidate. I think at the moment I just have some that I'm less excited about. All right, final subject. We got to be quick because Sachin has life. Mailbag. It's a quick question. Toffee Blues John. I think it's a good one. Toffee Blues John asks, The Office USA, are you a fan?
So I wasn't at first because Michael Scott and his awkwardness just used to kill me and make me uncomfortable inside. But I've lived with enough people that would, you know, have it on while eating or just insist on that because it's a cult-like mentality here that it's grown on me and I started to enjoy it. But it's not a show that I would, you know, rewatch by myself religiously season one through. I don't know how many seasons there are. So I think that kind of sums it up. I'm a casual viewer. Call me the Copite of The Office. You know, I'll take that. You know, I don't know anything too much about it, but I'll say I like it to fit in. It'd be cool.
So did you watch The British Office?
Never seen an episode. I've heard it's better, but...
See, it depends on the moment. So British Office, there are moments that are brilliant, all right?
Okay.
But it is so... It is even... I think it's even more awkward and, like, cringy. When you watch it, you feel even worse for David Brent than you do for Michael Scott. It is so hard because they give him no victories. None. It seems like he does not win. Michael Scott, at least, will get a win every once in a while. You know, the cool thing, like Michael Scott, there's that one episode where he comes in there and it turns out he's a great salesman. You know, it's an episode where he has to, you know, and the whole time you're thinking, oh, he's going to blow it. But it turns out he's fantastic at his job at being a salesman. And you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. I'm excited for him. It's so cool.
A couple of redeeming qualities here and there.
And David Brent, it's just, you feel awful for him. And he's offensive at that. It's just everything that you could cringe at for him. You can't. And some people revel in that cringe.
I might have to give it a go. That sounds kind of up my alley.
There are moments, but I'll be honest with you, it's the fact that I felt too bad. This is the first time I've ever liked an American version of anything better than a British version.
Really?
Ever.
Interesting.
Ever. I prefer the American Office, Office USA. I don't know why. I mean, I do know why. One makes me less uncomfortable having humanity, I guess. You know, the American one, I feel it's okay for me to feel bad for somebody and they get a win here or there. But in the British one, it's like certain characters are just like, oh, I feel awful for them and it's not going to get better. Oh my gosh, you know, it's just awful. And some people love that and that's cool. And that's a personality thing.
It kind of sounds like the life of an Everton fan, you know, it doesn't get better. You know, you think it's going to get better, but it really doesn't.
Yeah. So I like the I like all the Office USA. I am a fan. I'm not as big a fan as the people I work with. Because they're quoting like the late seasons and stuff that I didn't watch. Yeah. Right? But I've watched straight through 3 or 4 seasons, like every episode. So I know enough to answer this next question. I don't know. I feel like you probably will. Who is the best and who is the worst character? Best and worst characters.
Oh, the best character? I think I would say Creed. I love Creed.
That's mine.
The Halloween episode with the blood, that just kills me. It's probably my favorite movie. My least favorite, probably Angela, but I feel like that's an easy one, low-hanging fruit. You're meant to hate her, but It's easy and I hate her, so leave it at that.
I think it's, and this is how very, I haven't watched it much at all, but Pam's like boyfriend guy.
Jim.
Oh, that guy. There's nothing. I'm having trouble with that guy. No, not Jim Halpert. No.
Oh,
no.
Andy. I'm talking
the first guy.
Oh, Andy. Oh, he grows on you, though. He's like, he's the kind of guy they give a couple W's to, you know, and you feel
they
bad
do. They do it later on. Yeah.
So, but yeah.
He's like supposed to be jerk boyfriend, though, yep, for a while. You're just like, oh, God.
Oh, no, not Andy. It's oh, my God.
You're thinking of your dude from Parks and Rec.
No, Andy is Angela's for the one who Angela messes. She plays him. It's, I think of his face. Oh, can't think of his name though. I know who Pam's first, the big kind of brawler guy.
The guy that works in the warehouse in the loading dock guy. Yeah, that's the guy I'm thinking of.
Gosh, okay.
How long since I watched it, John? You've asked a question. It's made me reveal to myself how very little I've watched this recently, and I'm spacing it. Creed Bratton was easy, best character, easy. You know, the idea that his real name may not actually be Creed Bratton, that he's like telling the story of a man, and it turns out the man's name is Creed Bratton. And yeah, it's great.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect. Perfect.
So good. Yeah, that's an easy one for me. But yeah, worst character, it's like I go, which one's the least funny? Then I go from there.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, John, there's your Office USA. I hope you're happy. So, yeah, that's it. We're good, man. We have finished the show, Sasha. And I know you got to roll on. You got life. You got like 8 appointments tonight. You know, so many social engagements.
Yeah, I just have to start getting my application ready and those little things you don't want to do, you know, but you have to do.
Oh,
and you do eventually those
real life stuff.
Yeah. So
I mean, I have to go drink a beer and hang out with the wife. That's what I'm gonna do.
Hey, could be worse, right? Maybe watch the second half of Brazil.
That's cool. You know what's funny? The film nerd in me was like, oh, Terry Gilliam's Brazil? Is that on? No, it's the team Brazilian.
This is just more soccer. But thanks for having me on. I'm glad we finally got to do this again. And
yeah, I know, man. We've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah,
it's good to talk to you. I'm glad school's been going well.
Yeah, it's just the light at the end of the tunnel is there. Mm-hmm. So it's just that one goal, and it's let's finish strong, and then I'm done forever with
just
school.
Just get that knocked out, man. It sounds like you're kicking ass, taking names. Well done.
Try long days, short weeks. That's the motto. And then,
do you have any? I just realized something. I should have asked you. Do you have anything you need to plug? Besides Sachin as a fine human.
No. I just hopefully make more match reaction videos for the Falcon Blues in the fall when I have more time. More time because it's boards, applications, clinic, patients. There's just always something to do. And watching Everton, I still do that every time, but sometimes just watching, having the energy to make a video like the Sheffield one, I was like, I'm dead inside. I can't make a video.
You would be. After that match, everyone was dead inside. Yeah.
I was incredibly hungover, and I was so mad watching. I didn't even have the energy to yell at the TV. I was just dying, literally and figuratively, watching the clowns and Dan Jevison score his debut goal.
Well, I'll tell you, Falcon Blues guys, you know, you do that work with them. They're awesome. I like those guys. They're
quality
great
people.
Yeah, they're great. They're just so chill about what they do. Big fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
So very cool. So hopefully Sachin can get that started soon once things slow down for him life-wise. But yeah, for everybody else out there, hopefully you've been digging what you're hearing here on the Toffee Blues USA. If you are, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel and or podcast. We'd really appreciate it. Please follow Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Mammoth, Parler, whatever these things are that people do now. Yeah, do that. please. And also the Toffee Blues website. There's all things Everton on there. There's a lot of quality content on that a lot of my Everton buddies submit. They're pretty great. You'll see them in a lot of the videos on this channel, actually. So that's all I got. Sachin, time to roll. Please have a good night, man.
Thank you. Likewise. And let's hope we get a manager soon, but up the Toffees.
Fingers crossed, up the Toffees. I'm with Sachin. Much love, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well, staying safe, and keep it together. We're going to have a manager soon.
Yeah.
And it may even be somebody we don't hate. Hey.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed, like you said. Fingers crossed.
All right, everybody. Much love. Take it easy. Bye. Bye.
Cheers.
You're done. You're out. Hey. Your commitment fulfilled, my friend.
Perfect. Thank you, Jerry. It was a pleasure, per usual.
I'm sorry we went to 9, no, man. But
it's no big deal. Things happen. I'll just push some stuff to tomorrow. That's usually what happens. Just do it, then do it on the weekend.
Well, I tried to hurry up, man. So no,
don't apologize. My pleasure. But
all right, well, it's good to talk to you. It really is awesome. All right, I'm glad you're doing great. All right,
thank you. You too. Hopefully that documentary goes well. And
yeah, I'm gonna try to get, I haven't really put the teaser out there much lately just because Everton Twitter is a minefield. But we're almost cutting a second teaser together, so I may put both of them out here once Everton gets a manager and get some
I look forward to seeing those, and I'll share those for sure. So
thank you, my friend.
Cool.
You take right, care, man.
Take care, Gary. See ya, Jerry. See ya.
All right, man. Later on. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.